scholars, is that better? How different scholars translate from the original language. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. May God add his blessing to the reading of this Word. Amen. And so here we are today on Christmas Day reading that very well-known passage that begins in the beginning, just as the very first verse of the Bible begins in Genesis, in the beginning. And so that is a direct reference to what it was like when God created the world and Jesus was with him even then. And so I'm going to I have another children's book, but I'm not going to ask the children to come up, but I might need some help from Heidi. And so this is going to be kind of a, I bet you never knew this sort of thing. So Heidi, you're going to help me when I ask you to pick up little pieces from the nativity scene. You think you can do that? I know you can. All right, so here, this book, I got to tell you, Heidi, when I was reading this book, I said, oh, this reminds me of Heidi. Only the person who reminds me of you is a boy, and his name is Chris. Are you ready? Chris wanted to know everything about everything. At school, his teacher sometimes called him Christopher Question Mark because he was always raising his hand and asking for more information, and more information was never enough. Chris still liked bedtime stories, but he was always a little disappointed that the fairy tales didn't have real people in them. From now on, Chris announced to his mom one night, I want you to tell me stories about real people and real things that really happened. Well, all right, Mom replied, realizing that her 8-year-old was growing up. But I thought you liked stories that ended with, and they lived happily ever after. Well, sure, that's fine, as long as the people really lived. All right then, Mom said with a little smile. I see you want facts, not fantasy. I'll work on it. Do y'all need to see the pictures? Do you think the grown-ups need to see the pictures? You don't know. Okay. So the week before Christmas, Christopher's mother had an idea. She did a little reading of her own, and then she bought a nativity set and placed it on the table by her son's bed. That evening at bedtime, she said, now, Christopher, you said you wanted to hear real stories, nothing made up. Is that right? Right, Mom, he said emphatically. Well, Christmas is coming. Would you like to hear the story, the true story of the very first Christmas? Oh, Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus? I already know that one. Well, maybe not everything, but let's try you out. So Mother rested her chin on her fingertips and thought for a moment, and she said, all right, who is the first person mentioned in the second chapter of Luke's gospel, that famous story about the birth of Jesus? That's who Chris picked. Pick that one up. Hold it up for everybody. Chris reached for the figurine of a young girl, the Virgin Mary, he said with authority. Close, but she's in chapter 1. It's Augustus Caesar. Here, let's read it together. And so Christopher's mom opened their family Bible to Luke 2. You can put her back. And read this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. And Chris wondered, you want to read a line from this? Okay, read this. This question right there.
Was our month of August named for the Augustus? Chris wondered.
I don't know if y'all heard that, but she said, but Chris said, and Heidi read, was our month of August named for Augustus? Chris wondered. Yes, indeed, said Mom, just as July was named for his great uncle, Julius Caesar. Augustus was the first of the Roman emperors. Some say he was the best. He brought peace and great prosperity to the whole empire, even to far-off Palestine, where Mary and Joseph lived. And Chris, I think the reason that Luke mentions Caesar Augustus first in the Christmas story is for exactly the same reason that you asked me to tell you stories about real people. God wants us to know that all of this really happened, that it isn't just a story that someone dreamed up. Everybody knows about the great Augustus and about the way he counted and taxed the people in his empire. Well, what was that business about going back to the hometown to register? Well, nowadays we have to register in our neighborhoods before we can vote, don't we? So Joseph had to go back to his hometown, Bethlehem, to register for the census. Here, you can read this next part, Chris. How do you want to be Chris for a minute? Okay, can you read it really loud? Okay, she's going to read loud for us. Right here, read that.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, where the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
Chris dropped the Bible. Well, why did Mary go along? She did, Christopher. Read first, ask questions later. Oh, so Chris continued reading.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Okay. Well, wasn't Mary? How did Mary have her baby? And Mom said, well, Joseph was not the father of this baby. In fact, the father of this baby wasn't even a man. What? Chris said. Well, who was the father then? And his mom took a deep breath. The father of this baby was God himself. God was the father? Said Chris. But why? Well, you see, Chris, when God first made people, he made them in his image, perfect, like himself. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin came into the world. But God's love is so great. He planned to save us by sending his son to become one of us and to give his life for us. And the greatest thing you'll ever learn, Chris, is that God became a human being in Jesus Christ. Yes, in that little baby that Mary was expecting. Chris was quiet for a long time. Finally, he said, God in a baby. How do we know that? Mom smiled. From his word, from the extraordinary things Jesus did when he grew up. But why did God choose Mary, and how old was she, and where did she live? One question at a time, Mom said. Okay. Mary came from a town called, do you remember what it was?
Nazareth.
Perfect. Nazareth in Galilee. Y'all, this is not rehearsed. I'm just letting you know. I just said, Heidi, come on up, and she did. She came from Nazareth, and that was in the north country of Palestine. It was a beautiful area, mountains, hills, and fruitful valleys, and it had a huge lake, too, the Sea of Galilee. As big as Lake Tahoe when we went to California? Chris asked. Almost. And Mary's age? Well, we don't know for sure. But in those days, girls got engaged and married at about 16 or 17. Their husbands were a little older because they had to build up a family nest egg before thinking of marriage. But why did God choose Mary to be Jesus' mother and not someone else? Well, we don't have all of the answers, hon. Mom laughed, but why not Mary? Isn't that a good question? Why not Mary? In the first chapter of his gospel, Luke tells how the angel Gabriel announced the awesome news about Jesus to Mary. And Luke calls her a girl who was highly favored in God's sight. She agreed to be Jesus' mother in total faith and trust in God. Maybe that's why it was Mary, because she agreed to such an outlandish agreement And if you recall, she said, "May it be as you have said," to the angel. But then Chris started thinking, well, what about Joseph? Joseph, God tells us, was a carpenter. And a book I looked at said the Greek word for carpenter in the New Testament is tekton, and it can mean a craftsman in any kind of building business. So he could have been a carpenter and a stonemason, but he and Mary came from the royal line of David from the Old Testament. So Chris said, oh, they were royalty, a prince and a princess, just like fairy tales. No, not really. King David married quite a few wives and had children by them. So many people at the time of the first Christmas were actually related to King David. But I'll read some more. You ready to read this? You're doing so good, Heidi, right there.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son.
Well, what time was that? Chris interrupted. Don't you love Chris? The time when the baby was born, was it morning? Was it night? Was it December 25th? Was it the year one? Mama laughed. We really don't know the exact time or date. It was probably late afternoon or evening. You'll learn when we read on. And December 25th, I understand, was named the date for Christmas more than 300 years after Jesus was born. So that might not be the exact date. But we do know that Jesus was born around 5 BC and not the year 1. Well, wait a minute. Jesus was born 5 years before Christ? That doesn't make sense. I knew you'd say that, Mom said. About 500 years after Jesus was born, a Christian monk redid the calendar in the form that we still use today. But he was mistaken by about 4 or 5 years. So we know that a little over 2,000 years ago, probably sometime between July and December, Jesus was born. What happens in the manger? Read that top part for me, right up there.
She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now a manger, that's this, take baby Jesus out. Yeah, just show the manger. Now, a manger is a feeding trough for animals. I know, said Chris, just like the one we have for our horses. So Jesus was born in a stable? Well, God's word doesn't tell us it was a stable. But since Luke uses the word manger, we assume that it was. One of the earlier church fathers wrote that Jesus was born in a cave that was used as a stable. And the area around Bethlehem today has many places just like that. Well, have they ever found the cave where Jesus was born? Probably so. For at least the last 19... You're going to hurt your arm. For the last 1900 years or so, Christians have pointed to a cave or grotto beneath the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem as the very place that Jesus was born. I'd love to see that, Chris said. But then he said, but still, a stable is a miserable place to have a baby, if you're not a cow or a horse, that is. And why couldn't they have stayed with relatives or friends, or at least in something like a motel? Ah, Mom laughed. I think you answered your own question. Remember our vacation last summer when Dad kept driving into the evening and we didn't call ahead for reservations? Remember how all the motels that night said, no vacancy? Yeah, Chris remembered. Well, it could have been something like that. We do know that wise men arrived in Bethlehem later on. And when they did, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were living in a house, not in a cave or a stable. It's clear that they found a better place to stay after Jesus was born. That's why Epiphany comes after Christmas. Just like all the vacancy signs we saw the next morning on our trip. Right you are, said Mom. And together they read the rest of the story. This is long. Are you ready? Yes. Go for it.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Awesome. Okay, you ready? Pick up a shepherd and a lamb. All right, we got a shepherd and a lamb. Why were the shepherds terrified, Chris wondered. They should have been glad to be part of the Christmas story. Well, think, Chris, explained his mother. You're going about your business at night when the sky suddenly opens up, light pierces the darkness, and a dazzling being you've never seen before starts talking to you. Well, I guess that's right. It's a wonder the shepherds didn't lose it all together, said Chris, especially after what happened next.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men to whom his favor rests.
Perfect. Here's a real nice picture. I haven't been showing y'all the pictures. What a terrible reader I turned out to be. That's a beautiful picture there. This is a real big bunch. When the angels.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven.
I'm going to do that.
The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Excellent. That was hard, wasn't it? And that, Christopher, said Mom, is the St. Luke story of the very first Christmas. Did you like it? Chris had a faraway look in his eyes, but he slowly nodded his head. Remember, Mom said, it's more than just a story or a tall tale. All of this really happened. Christopher wrinkled his forehead and thought, but how did Luke know all of this stuff? Was he there? He didn't say he was in the cave with Joseph and Mary, did he? Do you love this kid? No. Well, then if he wasn't there, how could he ever write about it? A very good question, my young scholar, Mom exclaimed. Let's see if you can find the answer. It's in the last part of the Christmas story. So Chris read the part about the shepherds again, and then he said, the shepherds went away, spreading the word about Jesus. Maybe Luke heard it from them. Well, maybe, many years later. But look again. Who else could have told Luke? Chris looked again at the Bible, and his eyes widened. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So maybe Mary told Luke about what happened. Exactly. Some people think that Mary told Luke what had happened many years before. I told you she was an extraordinary woman. And God himself told Luke the words he wanted written about his son. And now it's time for sleep, Chris. Pleasant dreams. And Chris lay in his bed, thinking of all he had learned. And one thing he knew for sure. Real stories, especially God's story, were certainly better than fairy tales. Amen. And thank you, Heidi. Can I have a hug? Thank you very much. Y'all say, way to go. And a little child shall lead them. We read those words in Isaiah, and truly Jesus said, let the little children come to me. We can learn so much from our children, and yet we have so much to offer them as well. And so God calls us to live in community, not just with other adults, but with children around us, not for us just to teach them, but for us to learn from them as well.